Welcome to the podcast From Farm to Fork by Total Control. My name is Ricardo Monagas and I will be your host. On this podcast, we will talk with leaders in the hospitality industry, managers in the municipalities institutions, investors, farmers, producers, and disruptors in the food sector. We will get to know their journeys, ways to be more sustainable, streamline their food inventory management, prevent food waste, and other important points in their day-to-day operations. Thanks for joining us, and let's get started. Hi everyone, today we're talking with Katarina Eriksson. She is a partner in Compass Co. and CEO as well in Circular Ways. Welcome Katarina, how are you doing?
I'm good, I'm excited.
Good. Katarina, I see that you are doing a lot of different projects, so maybe you can walk us through all the different activities that you are doing in your daily life.
Yes, I am a serial entrepreneur. I'm really into social design and social innovation, and I use waste, or in this case, food waste, as a way to create new jobs for different people that are outside the work base or workforce. So Compass & Co. was the first social enterprise we started 11 years ago. And it was mainly working on with youth that has fallen out of school for certain reasons, and try to help them back into the education system, but also into the new green jobs, which we thought was catering and canteen work, where we used surplus food as the main ingredient in our dishes.
Got it. So it's quite like a win-win situation between preventing food waste for supermarkets and other, let's say, companies wasting food, and also bringing people who are not maybe part of the traditional path of career path to have a good opportunity for their career. Is that correct? Or?
Yes, it's a good testing area for them. And it's something you can also do besides school, high school. So this was quite a good way for us to show them something different. We had the food truck. We had a lot of fun events. It was never boring. It was a little bit on the edge. So that's for that group that we were working with, which is quite vulnerable youth. You saw that was quite a successful recipe, let's say. Mm-hmm. Whereas in Compass Mat, it's the second step. That's where we produce products and make product lines into the food industry, where we also try to use surplus food as much as possible. And we also work in closed loops with the farmers so that it's locally produced and not so much environmental in transportation and things like that. And we do that together with a company called Plant Based. We're launching now our first vegan bacon, so it's exciting.
Okay, sounds good. So
and,
yeah,
and the
ahead.
Whole purpose with this is to create steady jobs and where the whole value chain can really work together for the social impact as well, and recruit people. Not necessarily young people, but other people that are excluded from the workforce.
Mm-hmm. And what is the most typical case of the people you're hiring? So why are they going outside of the traditional path and in Norway in this context? If you can explain us more a bit about this. Yeah.
Yes. I've been working with many different, let's say, secluded groups, and they all have their story and the reason for why it's not been so easy for them to work full-time, let's say. In Norway, we are extremely lucky. We have a very good social system that provides for almost everyone that's not able to work full-time. But there are also not so easy if you are graded, let's say, or are disabled, so you can't work 100%. It's not so easy to get the job, or the your rest capacity, let's say, if you're graded until maybe you can work 40%, 30%, 20%. So what we are trying to do is to see how we can infuse that in a natural way into our product lines, so that they're actually perfect for the job, instead of feeling that they have to be included. So this is something that we map and talk closely, work closely with all the different partners that we are connected with in the value chain.
Got it. And so you are making direct recruitment of these people, or through partners as well, or how does it work?
We believe in partnerships. I mean, this is the new Circular Way, I think. That's why I also founded Circular Ways in 2018. It's about seeing how we have to work cross-sectoral, between borders, small, big companies, all together, to show that circularity is the only way to really work on the big social issues and also environmental issues that we are faced with in this this area of time. We need to cooperate. So we need to make a change together. So we work closely with everyone, and we really find out what their needs are, and then try to match that with their purpose, so that it's a win-win situation in all directions.
Understood. And I see that since you are working in all of these different projects, so can you tell us how do you manage your time? How does it look, your agenda, and so on? So maybe we can get some inspiration about how to do it. But
well, I come from a very creative background. I was originally born into a family of actors and writers and painters, and so I'm used to thinking of life very creative. It's like making a story each morning, and also being curious about what's happening in the world and also all the people that I work with. So I will say, probably my son will say that I work 100% all the time. But so it's more like a lifestyle for me. I work closely with all the different companies. I am close in what's happening in the different situations that we're in, and I sort of coach and have the overall view of where we're going, since I am mostly the one that is the inventor of the concepts. And I also coach the ones that I'm working with closely, so that they can be as brilliant as they are to execute.
Okay. Is there, going back to the subject of social inclusion, do you have any specific case or a person that you see grow from working with you to develop something else, or go and working other companies that before it wasn't accepted? Or do you have some success case like that the person learned from your companies and then move forward?
Yes, we have different good success stories. I'm a success story myself. I was very ill 12 years ago, and there was no one that wanted to hire me after I had a hemorrhage in my brain. So this is really I know that this is a success, because if you give people the facilitation and the freedom to work as they need to do, they can do enormous things. And I believe that everyone has a right to make an impact from their own resource and time, and have that freedom of how. So in Compass & Co, we have of course youth that we've been working with that now are running one of the canteens, for instance, that we are very proud of, and a lot of them about we had a good rate, 85% is back in school and work other places that we've been working with. Plant-based is quite new, so we don't know exactly yet. That's the big success stories that we're going to make there. But in Circular Ways, I have been working with designers that have not been, that doesn't have a full work capacity. And we've been creating a lot of really, really good designs. And yeah.
So just to maybe inform people in that journey, so what are the most worst time you have lived, or let's say on failure, or any issue that you have had into this process, or everything has been going well all the time, or how do you feel on that perspective?
No, I feel that if you're gonna be a startup and really into a field that's not there yet, which we always been a little bit before the market has been there, it's all about building up resilience. It's ups and downs. And so it's very hard for me to emphasize one failure, or we had a lot of failures. Every week, I think we had failures. And this is something also that we teach the people that we involve, that you should be proud of your failures, because this is what's building your resilience and the go-gets and the underdog power that you need to have to be sustainable over time. So I guess I think my biggest success is that we're still here. We're still here after 10 or 11 years. And we still make good impacts.
Yeah, talking about impact. So how many meals or canteens are you currently handling, so people can understand the context of your impact as well?
Yes, it's not, we are a small enterprise. We started 11 years ago. We've been building us up. Now we are running one canteen in one school, and we've been doing a lot of catering. So I'm not sure exactly how many servings we have to make that impact, but we've been trying to make at least 30% of all that we serve is with surplus food, which is quite a lot.
How does it work, the partnership with I assume you are partnering with supermarkets and other companies which are wasting their food. So how does it work for you, and how has been this collaboration, and how have you seen the progress, because maybe before they weren't too open to this idea of the surplus food and don't trashing it, or
yeah. Yes, it's been a big change in that market. When we started out, there was just some local stores that we got the produce from after a while. And we also do a lot of educational work. So we try to teach the youth at the schools also how to use it and how to prepare and share meals and use the what's left over and things like that. So it's easier now for people to go and negotiate with their local store, I think, as a person as well. But also they're more into, they see that instead of wasting it and paying for wasting it, they can actually deliver it to some projects that they like and also make long-term cooperations with canteens and other projects. Still in Norway, most of the food waste goes back into charities. And this is what we in Kompass Mat wants to maybe change a little bit. We want to be able to partner up with more producers that have waste produce in there and pay for it. So it doesn't end up as food for the animals, let's say, if it's possible to eat as human food. We believe that everyone should eat surplus food, not only people that are involved or need through charities. I think if you're going to make a change, we need all of us to take that change and eat, because it's really good food, and make value out of it.
Understood. And do you see they are as well involving, well, at least when I go to the supermarket, I'm watching that there is more and more of this food that is not following the standards, let's say, of the market, let's say, these standards that were created, right? So do you see this will be more a norm now, or do you see the business will continue as usual, that they will only sell what is in the standard? Or, what is your feeling on that, or your conversations with the markets as well?
I feel at least that it is more knowledge and more people are talking more about it, and people are also taking actions within their own companies, how to work better with all the resources that they're making. I'm not sure if the market still is ready as the personal market, let's say the buyers, but I think that the next generation Z, C, and all of that's coming, they were demanded. They're going to ask for it. So I think we just have to get ready for that. The users that are coming and the buyers that are coming. I don't think they will stand that we are not using the whole of what's going to be produced. I think it's going to be on high demand after a while, but maybe in 10 years it will be more.
Okay. And in your kitchen operations, apart from using the surplus food, what other actions do you consider important to do to prevent food waste and to keep going on, let's say?
Well, we work very closely we try to see how we can create the menu so that it is following whatever leftovers we can use the next day and the next day and the next day, so that we have as less food waste as possible in what we're making. And we also use a lot of conservation and preparation and all these ways that we can creatively reduce our food waste ourselves. We try to use all from the banana peel into new. So we try to really creatively have that as a challenge, all the chefs. How can we really use almost everything that we get a hand of into new products or into our menus? And of course, we have a cooperation with you as well, so we can track and see the storage, how we can use that in a better way. So we basically don't waste much.
Now, talking about Compass Mat and the creation of new products to commercialize it, I know that you have started working into the, let's say, plant-based bacon. How is that journey for you? So you just wake up one day and say, I will create plant-based bacon? or how do you come up with this product, and how are you developing it? So I will be curious to know what is the process behind, let's say.
Yes, and it's all about, this is also about how we've been, since we've been into this mindset for such a long time, exactly what you're saying, that if we get hand of something, the brain starts working. How can this be turned into a produce? And what's in the market? What's missing in the market? And a lot of the plant-based products that we see today is very ultra-processed foods. And we really all wanted to see if it's possible to create something that tastes really, really good and still have that all that value that we want to see, how we can use the surplus food, let's say, in this site, it's a seitan that we're using, and also how we can make it as local and ecological as possible, so that it's also nutritious. So this is something that we, I think it started because we wanted to make a sandwich for, we got the request for the for one of the grocery stores that wanted to us to make a sandwich for them, and that we needed some plant-based bacon to put in it. And then we just started developing it, and then it took quite it's like a laboratory, so it's been taking quite a long time. It's ready now for the market. I think we've been working almost a year to get to the right recipe, and testing it out with we had some in our community, people were testing it, some restaurants. We got the feedback. And then, of course, now we are ready to launch it in some of the big companies. So we'll see if it's going to be a success or not. It's called Faking.
Got it. Yeah, so maybe we can include the link for an eShop if you have it available on the time when we release as well the podcast. Yeah. Good. Based on this, do you have any other products that you would like to develop in the pipeline, or you are focusing for now into the plant-based bacon?
No, we have already 5 or 6 products in the pipeline that we're working with. Exciting things. Still not ready, but we are hoping that next year we're going to launch at least 2 more. And it's spekemat, which is quite big in Norway, and make a salami as well.
Okay, and what are the first milestones you want to achieve with Compass Mat and these products? Do you have any metrics that you wanna measure as success for you, or
yes, how does it work? Yeah, of course. If we want to be, of course, recognized, and for us, the products are, of course, very, very important to show that it's possible to make really, really good plant-based food. But of course, also the social impact that we're creating. We want to really make a change how we can produce things together with the whole value chain, and how we can together create also social impact, whereas the whole chain is recruiting in a better way, and also that we have a certain percentages of each sale that goes back into a social work or a social charity, or it depends on which charity the different partners wants to engage in. So we really want to make people aware that they, by using their power in what they're buying, they can also make a change just by eating well and taking care of the welfare of the animals and the planet and also people.
Good. And just for if someone who is listening to us wants to start a production of or a product of plant-based product, right? So what roles and what people should be involved into this process, so that maybe they are aware that they need to partner with X or with these experts or with other people? So can you walk us through that?
Well, it depends if you are what kind of values that are your drivers. I think you first have to be very clear on what your drivers are. Why do you want to make these products? What's the story behind? What is it that you want to tell the world by making this? If you're going to make something, it has to be for the right reason. And you're the only one, of course, who knows which reason. Since it's not easy to go into a market like that. I mean, you really have to have that driver close to heart, and you have to partner up with people that have and share the same values. And I think if you do that, seek high, ask for the best expertise, in finance, in find the best chef to work with that are creative enough, because this is a new market. And also be bold to tell about the story before it's even there, maybe. Make connections, go to fairs, talk to people. Network is really, really important. And also try to see if there are people that are good to partner up with, and then together maybe go and apply for funds. And so, and don't rush it, just really work it. I think that's maybe one of our success stories, that we use time, and it takes time. And also the right team is very important.
Okay, talking about teams, so what are the values or the skills that you consider most important for your existing ventures? Like,
when it comes to team?
Yes, so how do you establish your team, and what are the skills that you were looking for, and how do you arrive to them, let's say?
It takes a long time, I think, to find out how you work the best yourself, and what you need, what are your weaknesses, what are your strengths, and then really be honest about that, and then look for the ones that make you better. So again, this is a personal, let's say, searching that you have to do first, and then you connect with the ones that have the same values. I think it's very important. And also maybe not necessarily the same drivers, but maybe the same goal, in the sense of, why are we doing this? People can have different drivers, which can be positive in a diverse team, because it's important to have diversity. Some people are driven to make profit. Some people are driven to make social impact. Some people are driven to save the planet. But if you have a common goal, that all these means create the same goal for all of us, I think that's a good start. Communication, and also have flexibility, and also if it doesn't work, take responsibility and wish all the best to the partners that you're with, and move on.
Mm-hmm. Understood. In that journey of building these ventures, I assume that, of course, you are as well evolving a lot and learning from different sources and so on. So partners, people, so on. So do you have any recommendations, at least in the Norwegian market, to what institutions, mentors or resources people can follow up when they are starting a venture? Or how do you see it?
Well, there is, for me personally, it's been a very important to be a part of the social impact enterprise. So Central, at the Sentralen in Oslo, we've been having our offices there together with, I think there are almost 300 different enterprises there now, being members, that work with either a social problem or an environmental problem. So to be in networks like that, it's very, very important. We've also been part of Social Impact, which has been an incubator program, which has also helped us a lot. So seek the different networks that are aligned with what you believe in, and be there and talk to people and create networks. I think that's the most important thing. And also in that area, you will find mentors. I think mentors are very, very important. So you have someone to work with that are not in, let's say, in your own business, but maybe a little bit outside of it, that you can talk, have a coffee with once or twice a year, just to, that follows you. I've been having 3 or 4 like that all my time, and I'm also doing the same back to others. So that's something I would recommend. There are some good books coming out. There just came out a book called what is it? It's, if you're interested in social enterprise, Håndbok I sosialt entreprenørskap, created by Lisa Arvesen, blant annet.
Okay, we can maybe share it later.
If you
want to
see the
well,
social, yeah, we can share it with a link. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Sounds yeah. good. Mm-hmm. Okay, and what apart from, so basically, if I understood you well in your story, the reason of starting these enterprises for you was a need that you have this disease, and then being able to move forward, right? And of course, continue operating. So do you see this as a critical point of your success that allows you to grow? Or even if it was a bad period of your life, let's say, but it helps you to move forward, right? So is this something that you consider important in your journey, or how do you feel about that?
Probably, when looking back, probably this has been my of course personal drive to see it, to show the world that people that are wasted are not wasted. So yes, but working with youth, that was something that was just very close to my heart from before I got sick. So so I was always interested in the social differences and diversity of I think that everything, even the food you eat should be diverse. I mean, we need that to get this brain working and to create new solutions. So yes, I believe that I never I don't think I thought that my journey was so hard, because I was always, I gave myself the possibility to be engaged. And I believe that everyone should take their own responsibility to make the best life and not be dependent on any system.
Yeah, good. That's great as well that you're helping people to move forward as well into that journey. Okay, just talking about resources, and as we were talking in the past, do you follow any podcasts or people that you are taking advice of, or that you can recommend?
I try to listen to, again, diversity of many things. I'm a foodie. I'm into mushrooms and fungi, and I'm a nerd, so I listen to a lot of different things. So I can't really recommend one thing. I would maybe give people the tip that if they're interested in something, follow that lead, and there will always be someone that talks that you can learn from. Never stop learning from other people. There is always something to learn from other people. So I suggest not to be so narrow-minded into one field. I listen to economics talking. I'm listening to yoga teachers. I'm listening to florists. I'm just really inspired by people that are engaged in what they believe in.
Mm-hmm. So do you consider that if you learn something outside of your, let's say, bubble or industry and so on, then you can apply it into your daily life, let's say, or business as well? Or do you have anything like that? Yeah, sorry. Do you have some specific, if you remember something or just, of course, if you remember something that maybe you learned out of your field, but then you are applying it now into your field, Do you have anything like that?
I think I have daily experiences like that. I can just pick out the book and open the page, and then I see maybe a quote from Shakespeare, and I see that it's the same principles that he is talking about that we are trying to change. So it's all about feeling connected into what you're trying to do. I can get. I'm a curious person, so I can get a lot of talking to someone in the train going to work each morning, just by discussing something. I lived in New York for 3 years, and this is something that I took from of being in the States, is that people were not afraid to talk to each other, and there was just more fluidity in among people, so that there wasn't this silos of who you should talk to, when you should talk to them. And they were never even, I think the best I also took from that is that they never felt stupid if they didn't understand something. It was all about learning more and being excited if someone else could teach them something. And I have the same mindset still. And I believe that that makes I think a lot of the same principle can be adapted into whatever you're doing if you see the principles, and people had success by doing that formula, let's say, in their business. You can look at it, and you can see how it can be adapted into your own.
Yeah, understood. So it's basically keep curious and always learning, right? Yeah.
Start active listening, I think. Not so much about you, more about listening. It's always something to learn, and that you can change. And maybe that's innovation for me, I think, to get inspired and then make use of it into something that's important for you.
Mm-hmm. Good. And in these 11 years of operating Compass, so how, more talking about now about digital innovation, do you feel like there has been some progress for you into using technology to improve their kitchen operations and other business activities, or How do you see it now, reflecting into the progress that you have made till now?
We have not been tech-driven at all. I think that what we see is the biggest change is how we connect with the youth, how we are on social media, things like that. I know that we're going to a more tech direction, I think. In the sense of tracking the impacts we're making and make data more transparent for the customers. So that's going to be a very exciting area that we are looking at right now. But there is nothing that we've never been tech driven. We've been social driven.
How can people reach you out to join to your team, or asking you more questions if they have listened to this podcast, or get to know more about you and your ventures?
Well, I can always be found at LinkedIn. I can leave a link where you can contact me. We are mostly based in Instagram. Circular Waste, Compass & Co, Compass Mat, and plant-based. So find us there.
Thank you very much, Katerina, for your time today and all the knowledge and your story. All success with all your ventures, and hopefully we can keep talking and watching the progress of your businesses.
Yes, for sure. Thank you. Bye.
See you. Thank you very much for joining us. We hope you have enjoyed the episode and get to know important tips and lessons to apply soon in your own journey. Feel free to share with your friends and colleagues. Looking forward to seeing you next time.